I'm glad you said it sounds good, I think.
Okay.
That made me feel better.
All right.
It made me feel better because I created the Thrift Savings Plan for the United States military back in the late 1990s when I chaired the Personnel Committee on Armed Services. And I did that not to upset the military pension system. I did it to give soldiers an option. And I made it voluntary. And because it was different from other thrift savings plans and because I didn't want to upset the existing federal military pension system, I made it voluntary and there's no federal match. And not everyone that serves in the military comes from a poor family and or doesn't have financial means. And I wanted to create an alternative for them. Now, when you said, I think, you know, that this is a good idea, I think, you're right. It's a good idea to increase the savings rate in America, but to mandate it, that's where I'm glad you gave this sort of hesitation. This was not Congress sitting down and going through a hearing process to talk about the savings rate and what are the best ways of increasing our savings rates and the impact upon our country. That's not what this discussion is about at all. The reason we're having this discussion today is the Waxman bill for tobacco, he needed a pay for, a quote, a pay for, end quote. And in order to pay for this creation of authorities to the FDA to supervise nicotine and tobacco and to grow that agency, he needs to come up with a revenue source. And his revenue source would be the mandating of the enrollment in the Thrift Savings Plan along with a Roth that is a revenue generator for the government. And that is very bothersome to me. And it was also bothersome to me that of this requirement for federal employees, excuse me, not the federal employees, for the military to have been included. Now, I was pleased that at the Government Reform Committee yesterday, they came to an agreement to protect existing law with regard to the military. But I still have this sort of puzzled and bewildered here as now some at the committee are saying, well, we can do this and it will be budget neutral. Well, if it were budget neutral, then why would you have forced this mandate upon the military to be included with all federal employees?
Well, how does
we're going to look into this a little bit further. Tom?
Yeah, I'm just unclear on how contributions to TSP or Roth IRA give money to the Treasury for spending on FDA. I don't get the mechanism there.
Well, they're saying the more monies that come up front generates. Don't ask me about the magic here.
Essentially, what happens?
The magic, but those monies that come into the United States and are able to make money off of those and the fees and he needs over $1 billion.
So if you're doing pay as you go, in theory, this then is a source of revenue to pay for the costs of this smoking legislation that the Congressman Waxman wants to see passed. Right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so, but doesn't this this mandatory sign up for civilian federal employees and for the military, doesn't it mirror what's already going on in the private sector? Because this was legislation that was passed under the Bush administration.
Well, this is this whole question about opt in, opt out. In other words, you know, maybe someone goes to work at a particular company in the private sector whereby there's an automatic enrollment in the Thrift Savings Plan, but if you want to decline, it takes an affirmative act to decline. And that's what Henry's trying to do here. He's saying everybody is forced into the Thrift Savings Plan. But you know what? Not everybody wants to be in a Thrift Savings Plan. People have other forms they should have a right to other forms of choices.
Well, the thrift savings does have the quality of really rummaging pretty deeply to find a piece of revenue for a particular narrow program.
I think I'm going to use your quote. I like that. You're absolutely right. This is rummaging into the personal affairs of people. And I would feel better if this was being done because we had this thorough, invented discussion about how to increase the savings rate of Americans, and they had a real genuine purpose behind it. That's not what this is. It's being used to finance tobacco legislation that is an abstinence-only approach, which I call it either quit or you die. And that's why I've come up with an alternative on tobacco that is a harm reduction strategy. We make reduced risk choices every day in life. And I want to create a different agency within FDA called the Harm Reduction Center, as opposed to really upsetting the culture at FDA. And I don't want people to believe that, well, if FDA is somehow controlling tobacco, that somehow now these are implied or inferred safer products. And that really bothers me. And so I'm going to be meeting again today with Henry Waxman, and hopefully this alternative approach to creating a harm reduction strategy for our country to move people from smoking to smoke less and then follow that continued risk so that they can actually quit is really a more sound and more scientific-based alternatives.
We're talking this morning to Congressman Steve Booyer, and we're talking about the mandate that TSP would be a reduction from your salary if you joined the federal government. Now, just to be clear, even in this iteration, you would be able to opt out of your TSP contribution if you so chose, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and can we go and
except
talk?
Except for the military, we keep existing law. And so I guess when I say existing law, it's how I drafted it back in the late 1990s, and that is it's a voluntary program. So the military will remain with their thrift savings plan as a voluntary program without a match. And see, that was the other real question here, is if you're going to actually mandate the military, then you have to start talking about if you're going to mandate it, then you're going to need to do a federal match. And then when you do the federal match, then what have we done to the federal or to the military pension system? It's mucked up.
It's not fair. I'll say that. It's not fair if you're going to mandate that someone go into the TSP and not match their contribution like the federal government matches civilians' contributions, then it's certainly not equitable.
You are absolutely correct. And that's the argument I used with some of my colleagues. I'd spoken with Ike Skelton, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and John McHugh is the ranking Republican from New York. And that is the exact language that I used when I spoke to them on the House floor, and I gave them letters asking for them to take jurisdiction of the bill. But they worked this out yesterday in the government reform. Obviously, Henry doesn't want the Armed Services Committee to have jurisdiction of his bill. But let me thank both of you, Jane and Tom. What you're doing is you're informing people about what's happening here in Congress. And I loved your word, that we're rummaging in the personal affairs of people, not because of some genuine interest to increase the savings rates of America, but it's to look for a pay for tobacco legislation. And you don't want to talk about rummaging.
I just don't want to be subpoenaed before the Hill on this.
Well, you very well might. Hey, Congressman, one more thing before you go.
Okay.
I want to ask about the sick leave provision. That's also in there, right? That FERS employees would be able to buy out at the end of their service their sick leave.
You've gone beyond me. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't have jurisdiction over that. You want to ask me about tobacco legislation.
You've got that covered.
I got all that covered. I am not an expert in federal personnel.
Well, we hope that's included. As a matter of fact, the coverage says it is. So that's been another question for federal employees out there about whether or not they're going to get parity with their older cousins, the CSRS employees.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today to talk. Hey, keep us updated about all this and how your discussions with Congressman Waxman, who we've invited on the show and we have not heard from, have gone.
Well, hopefully you get a chance to speak with him.